This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The studio that I'm sitting in now is less than a mile from Dr. Martin Luther King Drive. The street runs across St. Louis, a horizontal line, all the way from the city's western border. On one block in the Ville neighborhood, you can see a reflection of the street's complicated and inspiring history. A massive mural of Tina Turner, surrounded by her connections in St. Louis, is painted across one side of a brick building at 4144 MLK Drive. Its next-door neighbor used to be the Harlem Tap Room. It is now a collection of rubble after the structure was damaged in the May 16th tornado. Even before that storm, MLK Drive faced challenges. Decades have passed since its golden era, when it existed as a corridor of business and culture for the city's African-American communities. Now, there are still people who dream of seeing this street thrive once again. Their project is to transform this stretch into a vibrant hub, bringing both residents and tourists to this history and culture-rich area. A block party this weekend will unveil the next stage of that ambitious plan. And here to talk about it are Aaron Williams, president of For the Ville, a nonprofit cultural heritage organization. Aaron, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Dale Chambers. Dale is an artist and community liaison for the project and a resident of the Greater Ville neighborhood. Dale, great to have you back for this conversation.
Thank you so much.
So, Aaron, I understand that you began working on this project back in the spring of 2020. What prompted you to start thinking about this again?
Sure. So, to be correct, For the Ville started working on this project in 2018.
Okay.
And we began socializing it with our broader community in 2020. The inspiration behind the project is, again, For the Ville is a cultural heritage development organization. And one, we were started out of this frustration that people don't appreciate the Ville for what it's contributed to St. Louis and also to global culture. And as a resident-led organization, we wanted to change that. And we knew that that meant preserving the community, what was left of it. And then we started having honest conversations with ourselves that in order to preserve the legacy of this community, you have to preserve the place, which requires an economic foundation, some vibrancy. And that led us to anchor ourselves on the neighborhood commercial corridor as the spine of an economic transformation.
Mm-hmm. Dale, what were the beginnings of your involvement with this project?
In the beginning, I was making art. I worked with a pop-up park with For the Ville and folks who support For the Ville, and I painted murals.
And the murals that you did, what was featured in them?
Plants.
Okay, what kind of plants?
Leaves from some of the native plants in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And was that inspired by both what you were seeing and what you wanted to see more of?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have a zest for environmentalism in my art practice, and it was the perfect opportunity to include environmental aspects like nature into this larger development project.
Mm-hmm. And before we move ahead, Aaron, I'm wondering, back in 2018, mm-hmm. you had said that there were some honest conversations happening. Mm-hmm. Was there something happening at that time that prompted that kind of candor among people?
So specifically to For the Ville, there was nothing happening, but our organization, including the board, which is still the original residents that founded it, believe in radical candor. So we have to be candid with ourselves. And, you know, that conversation was, well, what good does saving a building or what good does putting a monument up serve if the community is still falling apart?
Mm-hmm.
That's what pushed us to be stewards of something bigger than just a monument or a tour or the preservation of one single building.
Mm-hmm. And how is art then part of that?
Well, I think art is the language of people. Art allows us to articulate things and understand things that we don't have words for. So especially in the Black community and Black culture, right? I think we speak in expression and feeling before we speak in words. So again, we were very keen on that's important for preserving a culture. Like, this community has to be able to express itself through different forms of art. Mm-hmm. And we were just lucky enough to have strong artists in the community like Dale.
Yeah. So this Saturday, the project is hosting a block party on MLK Drive, and you'll be unveiling the results of many months of planning. And that report, which contains a plan, describes a lot of history and why this street is worth dreaming about. For a little bit of background, the street got its name in St. Louis in 1972 when Easton and Franklin Avenues were renamed mm-hmm. for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This was 4 years after his assassination. And there are a lot of streets in this country that are named after MLK. The report that people will see and that is that's going to be shared, it includes this line. There are over 955 streets bearing his name, but almost all tend to be located within historically disinvested Black communities and fail to accurately reflect his legacy. So talk with us about that. Dale, why do you think that's the case?
Well, we know that history has been rewriting itself for some time, but the people who have been a part and active in keeping our social fabric growing is still here. So one of the things about this national issue is that we in St. Louis have a vigor for our culture. And there are stewards, there's elders to me, who never fully accepted that reality for us. When I think of one of the founders, Julie Allen, she always reminds me that, you know, from her social work background, that it's always the people who you see first. And that has been very powerful for me. Although I'm an artist, I have a deep interest in anthropology and history. And as my storytelling practice, I want to know the perceptions of what's happening now in a place where it's activated in a contemporary light, and that gives room for opportunity. Now, when we talk about historic disinvestment, there's so many articles and ways to get into the depths of that. And it's unfortunate, but we have an opportunity to create a new narrative now.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you want to add to what Dale has articulated?
So I want to point back to Dale. So through this planning process, I sort of charged our team of community liaisons, which were members of the community, residents who co-designed this entire plan with our consultant team. I charged them to help us develop a brand for this. And it was actually Dale that coined the whole name Boulevard Dream, sort of playing mm-hmm. on MLK's legacy. And I think that it is a pushback against what is essentially an anthropological mapping of disinvestment. If you look at across the nation where we have decided to name streets after MLK, we just picked the areas that our country, our culture decided not to invest in. But like everything, an oppressed community always finds the silver lining. We always figure out how to squeeze the lemonade. And I think the name Boulevard Dream reflects that, mm-hmm. right? It's like you gave us the theme and the inspiration for what we're going to do here. Mm-hmm. And Dale was the one who coined it in one of our meetings.
Yeah. It's great to see people give each other props and credit for the work that they've contributed. Mm-hmm. Dale, in your work as a community liaison, you spent time talking with your neighbors and other residents. I think that's probably something you would have been doing anyway. But what has stood out to you about what they want to see for this area?
My neighbors love their community. They love the stories that they share. They love the color of the brick. They love their families. They love each other. And a lot of times when we think of disinvestment, we immediately go to division. We assume that there's higher crime rates. We assume that there's more friction and tension because of the lack of resources. And the most empowering thing, especially being a part of my block unit number 305, is that we have an unsaid language of support that I was able to uplift through the process. There's more people on my short street that are involved in civic engagement in our neighborhood than I even knew. And I was able to support the upliftment of multiple avenues of advocacy.
One of the things that really stands out is the emphasis on culture. And the term that is used in the project describes the vision of this place, this boulevard, in the future as a cultural corridor. What does that mean, Aaron?
So I'll start from the perspective of history. The Ville community, which is bigger than a single neighborhood, as we've sort of reduced it to, has contributed an overwhelming amount of things to our global culture. And when we look at we sort of take a landscape scan of the preservation of that culture, the preservation is always happening outside of the community. Mm-hmm. So this is a reclamation effort to say, if this is where the culture came from, then we need to preserve that legacy here and make that the foundation of this transformation effort. Mm-hmm. So that's the history of it. In the present day, again, I go back to what I said, art and culture are forms of expression that really, you know, inspire everything that comes out of a Black community. So we want that to be woven through any effort, whether it be public right-of-way, real estate development, programming. We want that to be woven into all of those things as we transform MLK.
Mm-hmm. One of the unique things that I love about working on this project is that we really get to the root of what culture is, because we're developing shared norms and shared values as a group, mm-hmm. which is something that you usually don't see in development projects.
Now, yesterday, producer Danny Wisentowski spoke with Jerry Beaven. Jerry is a business owner who also lives right on MLK Drive. Mm-hmm. And inside the proposed cultural corridor, he talked about what he hopes people will see at the block party this Saturday.
The block party is an example of what can be. Mm-hmm. So once the people see these different functions going on, it gives them hope and the idea of what it will be and what it is becoming. We're trying to do the impossible. But it can be done. You know, like I said, without a vision, the people perish, but everybody has to have the vision. So what we're trying to do is show people the vision. And once they see, they'll join in, you know.
Yeah. And that was Jerry Beaven, a 10-year resident of MLK Drive. So, Aaron, you're nodding. Like, Jerry is actually renovating storefronts, which will one day be the offices of For the Ville. Why was it important for your organization to have a physical presence on the street?
So this just may just be my practice as a person, but if I commit to something, then I'm committing all the way to it. I'm going to stake my livelihood and my success on that thing. And nothing really articulates that better than planting ourselves on the corridor. But also, what's important to us is that as we enter into and as we remain in community with folks, that we invest in the things that are already working. So after learning more about the corridor, it was obvious that Jerry is an anchor. He's a community anchor. And how do we make Jerry's presence stronger? Mm-hmm. How do we increase his equity in the corridor? Become his tenant. You know, activate spaces around him. So that's what drove those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Dale, Jerry Beaven talked about vision. And in a lot of ways, the vision for the street is still being shaped. How do you go about sharing that vision with other people and inviting them to imagine it with you?
I love ethnographic research and inquiry. So the first thing that I do is I make direct eye contact, I smile, and I ask questions. What do you like? Because I love service berry trees. And the person will begin to tell me the truth, usually, because I'm coming to them as a human. And with that, you know, sometimes situations come up where folks may not know what's going on around them. There might be a mother who works two jobs. There might be a father who's holding down the family eldership. And we might not be able to reach them through social media, through the public radio. But if they see a person talking about their community, most often it's an opening and welcoming situation for engagement to happen. Now, am I coming out with a survey and a checklist and marking a box? No, I'm happy having to do deep listening, memory work, and then making sure that I translate their impact or what they have to say equitably to the larger group as we go through the corridor plan in a way that keeps their truth as well as honors the context of how we receive that information.
Mm-hmm. Is there something about that approach that addresses something that Jerry said? He said, we're trying to do the impossible. Then he follows it up with, but it can be done. But if we sort of look at historically what has happened, there have been many plans, really good-looking reports, but what happens thereafter is not a realization of what is there on paper. Yeah. So,
yes, I was about to say this anyway. We were very intentional about that. We wanted to be sure that even during planning, we started to deliver things that felt real to people, whether it be the Tina Turner mural or the convening that we hosted for the planning process. We wanted people to feel like, oh, yeah, this is not just a plan. You see it being implemented in real time. And at the block party, what you're going to see is implementation has already begun. We're about to introduce people to new tenants on the corridor. That are our partners that have signed up to sort of carry this torch with us, whether it be InvestSTL, Washington University, Counter Public. We are all introducing ourselves as the first phase of implementation of this plan on Saturday. And that's how people began to believe in the vision. You know, there are always these small wins being celebrated along the way. You see real things coming online that reflect what is in the plan. At the same time, it keeps the door open for this reciprocal conversation. All right, you told us what you liked. You told us what you wanted to see. And we're delivering a small version of that for you so that you can say, okay, good job, keep going. Or how about you pivot a little bit and do something else here? By being in that reciprocal conversation over the entire time of this evolution, we are inviting community members to share that vision with us. And it doesn't help. I mean, it also helps that we have a strong brand, again, thanks to Dale.
Right. Thanks.
Branding is important.
It is important. Mm-hmm. Well, you've been working also with the city's planning agencies. Mm-hmm. What has that partnership given you? What has that looked like?
It has been amazing. Full disclosure, I am a planning commissioner as well. But PDA has been extremely supportive. Jonathan Roper, Don Rowe, they have put their best effort into making sure that through neighborhood planning and through planning efforts that the Cultural Boulevard plan is integrated into those things so that whatever plans or documents come out of their office, they speak to what we are creating with community members. And if you open up the neighborhood, the Northside neighborhood plan that was recently completed and the corridor plan, you will see that they say a lot of the same things and reference one another.
So in conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So this Saturday morning, starting at 10, that is when the block party at the Tina Turner mural and the Boulevard Dream Info Center mm-hmm. is going to be happening. What will be going on at this party, Dale?
Well, usually when I show up, we're doing jumping jacks and we're making art. Just being silly. No, I will be, like what Aaron said, introducing some of the smaller demonstrations that we've done, as well as everything that's to come. I look forward to announcing that I plan to do an artist in residence with For the Ville, and you all are hearing it first here now. And fun family activities.
Yeah. Aaron, what are you looking forward to at the block party besides good weather?
Good weather, good food. I am excited to see people do things like draw on walls. So in For the Ville's new space, we're calling our big conference room the community living room. And one of the activities is, how should we decorate the walls? And instead of people just saying it, We have paint, we have markers. You can literally put it on the wall for us. In the park space, again, we have spray paint. What do you want to be in the park? Our landscape architect will be there. People will be able to spray paint in the grass what they think should be in this park. And we'll have a big board where they can draw or design the park in real time. So fun activities throughout the entire block.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Williams is president of the nonprofit for the Ville. Dale Chambers is an artist, a resident of the Greater Ville, and a community liaison for the MLK Cultural Boulevard Project. Thank you both for joining us today, and best wishes for the party on Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The MLK Cultural Boulevard Corridor Plan will be unveiled this Saturday, March 21st at 10 a.m. at the Boulevard Dream Info Center. For more information, visit our website. That's stlonair.show.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.